The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by AIB. We see Brave and we're backing it through Brexit.
Well, when we can travel again and even welcome visitors to the capital and elsewhere, there are many well-known buildings our next guest, his grandfather and great-grandfather even, are responsible for across Ireland. David Brown is the former president of the RIAI and managing director of RKD, a firm of architects which employs over 150 people and is famous for landmarks like the Guinness Storehouse. David, I have to ask first, as someone heavily involved in commercial work, the stories we're hearing about the death or decline of the office because of COVID, is that all bad news for architects?
I've been reading quite a lot of articles lately, and I think the main message that's coming through is the office is not dead. But what we're seeing with clients at the moment now in terms of offices is a lot less open plan spaces with desks and a lot more places for gathering, communicating and acting as teams. And I think that's very much going to be part of the future for offices, because why go into the office to write emails? You'd be going to the office to get together with people. And that, I think, is where the emphasis on design of these buildings will be. There may not be as many people in them at any given time, but they will still be the hubs of creativity for particular businesses.
It's almost the opposite to what we're used to, the idea that when you're in the office, I better stop chatting and get some work done.
Yeah.
Whereas in the future, people will be going to the office to talk to one another and leave all the rest of the work to a laptop somewhere else.
Yeah, and exactly. And within our office, we found that, not that we were ever looking over people's shoulders, but there is now a culture of trust and outcomes rather than just being there and appearing to be there, which I think is really healthy.
And in light of that, do you think we'll see investors and developers continuing with plans to build new offices that are just in the pipeline at the moment?
Yes, I would expect so. If within our office, and I think within most architects' offices, we're not seeing a lot of new work coming in at the moment, but that's to be expected. But listening to the various property agents and that, they are foreseeing that the situation will change in the second half of this year as vaccinations roll out and people begin to go back to some new form of normality. But I would see the office will be coming back in the next 2 or 3 years.
Now, you're in an ideal position given the background of RKD, the family firm, because it all started way back in your grandfather's time, John Robinson. So in a way, the family has seen it all before. You've seen it all come and go. But just tell me a little bit about your granddad, because he set it up and he originally wanted to be a priest.
Indeed he did. And to some extent, that was quite a good career move for him. He set up the firm in 1913 with his partner, Dick Keefe. Dick went straight off to the war, being a single man, and Johnny, being married and with a child, stayed and kept the firm going. And in terms of the connection with the priests, in the mid-20s, when he was more established, a lot of his friends from the seminary were now parish priests, and new churches were being built, so they all turned to their old friend Johnny to ask him to build them. So he built up quite a substantial church building practice alongside the commercial side of things.
So it was a different take on the old boys network. These were the old seminarians who'd become priests.
Yes, that's a very good analogy, all right.
So a lot of the churches that were built then in the post-independence era in the 1930s and 40s were designed by your granddad and the firm. What kind of ones would be well known?
Both he and a number of other architects were the architects for churches. So some of the ones he did around Dublin would be Fox Rock, Mount Merion, Cabra Church, Whitehall Church on the way to the airport. They were architects for the Diocese of Kerry, Galway Cathedral. The church, of course, was a very conservative client, and it demanded this rather unusual style that is known as Hiberno-Romanesque. So the architects sort of were more or less obliged to work within a somewhat old-fashioned traditional style to meet the desires of the church. Now, on the other hand, he was working away in the commercial sector designing very modern buildings. So there was a kind of a dichotomy in the way the practice was running.
Were they tough customers?
Oh yes, very. They were, but yes, in general terms, they were tough and demanding customers, and they demanded excellence in terms of quality. And in fact, interestingly, we're now all putting in underfloor heating into houses and places like that. And Mount Merion was one of the first buildings to get underfloor heating in Ireland back in the 50s.
They weren't just well-heeled, they were warm-heeled as well.
Were they?
Are there any you don't like? As you drive around Dublin, you're thinking, oh.
Generally, they're all nice. I do point out to the red brick church in Whitehall, and I always say that that's probably Johnny Robinson's least successful building.
Whitehall Church. Yeah. Just doesn't do it for you in terms of appearance.
I'm sure it's fine functionally.
Also, having set up the firm in 1913, he would have been around during and working as an architect during 1916.
Yes.
Pretty turbulent time, but perhaps lots of architectural work in the aftermath with O'Connell Street destroyed and all that. But you actually found his old diary from 1916.
Yes, in the archives in our office, many years ago, I happened upon his diary for 1916. And it was very interesting because he was a very good keeper of diaries, and his entries finished on the 19th of April, which was Holy Thursday, and they didn't start up again until the 5th of May, when the rising had finished. And his first entry was down on Sackville Street measuring windows. So despite the great things happening in the country, life began to move on quite quickly for ordinary Dubliners.
So he was getting back to business very quickly.
He was indeed, yes.
And the diary, did you find the diary yourself? Did you stumble upon it, or did you know it had existed?
No, I just found it in the back of a shelf. It was quite interesting.
And where were the offices during 1916?
They were on, as it was called then, Sackville Street, now O'Connell Street.
Was there other post-1916 work that he and the firm got involved in?
Well, interestingly, on O'Connell Street, we actually mapped it out. He was involved in reconstructing 23 of the buildings on O'Connell Street, which is quite interesting. And at the time, it was very interesting because the city architect had very firm views on how O'Connell Street should be reconstructed. So all of the architects had to coordinate to make sure that their buildings looked the same, and they had sort of their bases were at the same level, their string courses, as they call them, and the tops of the buildings all matched, which was an excellent, I think, approach. And it really did help to unify O'Connell Street.
And was that about rebuilding them as close to the way they were, or were architects given latitude to come up with new designs?
No, the O'Connell Street before 1916 was quite different from the O'Connell Street that resulted. I suppose you could say that the O'Connell Street post 1916 sort of has something akin to the Paris, perhaps, of Haussmann. There was a greater grandeur about it, I think, and in the way the buildings were unified, and in terms of architecture, was quite a successful composition, I would have said.
One of the buildings just off O'Connell Street, Independent House in Middle Abbey Street.
Yes.
I don't know whether that was damaged in 1916. Did I read? Was the firm involved in that one?
The firm was involved in that one. I don't believe it was. I think that was a new build for independent newspapers at the time.
Because more recently, RKD had designed the new, in 2000,
yes,
printing house out on the Nace Road.
That's right. Yes, I personally designed that, and I got great pleasure out of the fact that we were doing the Independence next building.
It's funny you should say you designed it, because I know the chief executive's office there, as I recall, having been in it a number of times, in the corner were doors that led to a balcony that overlooked the printing press. It was up on the first floor. There was a bit of the Citizen Kane feel about it. It was a nice touch.
Indeed, it was.
Was that your idea?
No, it was a late introduction because Tony O'Reilly, of course, who was the chairman, lived down in Kildare, and he decided he didn't want to commute all the way into Dublin. So at a late stage, we had to redesign the building to include an office suite for him. And it turned out to be an enormous challenge, because a printing hall is generating about 100 or 115 decibels. So it's a very noisy place. And we had to design an office that was as quiet as a normal office is. So it became that was a real acoustic challenge for us.
Well, it certainly worked. Anyway, yeah. I don't recall hearing too much of the printing press when I was there. When you look at the architecture of Dublin, it's a 1,000-year-old city. There's lots of different types of buildings in different eras. But we've made our own architectural mistakes, I suppose, in the capital city.
So I think the biggest mistake that we've made is to let the city sprawl. We are probably the least dense capital city in the EU. And that's had consequences. You know, our transportation systems are stretched, our utility systems are stretched. So it's one of the issues that we're now facing is the fact that most of the people that need to be accommodated are 1, 2 and 3 person households. So building 3-bedroom semi-detached houses for them is probably not the right answer. And we probably need to be building quite a lot more apartments, because I think they're more appropriate for the needs of smaller households. And that then naturally leads to you being able to build buildings that are somewhat taller. Now, we shouldn't conflate high rise with density. What we really need are 4 to 6 to possibly 8-storey buildings to accommodate the needs of our population.
And where would we build them is the other question, because I know, for example, there have been suggestions about reclaiming some of the Sandymount Strand, the area around Clontarf, doing a sort of a Dutch reclamation job there and using that to build thousands of houses. That's something that you've been in favour of.
Yes, that may be a solution, and that is probably a solution for the long term, particularly if ocean levels do begin to rise, because the areas adjacent to all of Dublin Bay are pretty vulnerable in the event that sea rise happens. However, there's a huge amount of brownfield land around the city that will, I think, see us through for the next 50 years. And that's probably the area that we should be concentrating on at the moment. I've seen an interesting map produced. You can see it on the LDA website, which shows all of the land in state ownership around all of our cities, but it's quite extensive when you look at Dublin. There are many areas that could be used for housing and all the other needs that a modern city has.
On that map that you mentioned, is that close to the city centre? Is it far out towards the M50?
It's a mix of both, and I think this, particularly post-COVID, I think our solutions are going to be sort of right across the city. I do think our city centres are going to change because of the change in how offices are used and the change in retail. I don't think there's probably any coming back from the changes that are happening there now. So it may be
the word change there. Do you mean decline?
I do, but it may mean that the city becomes a city centre becomes a better place for living, for people to live in. And I do think then there's an opportunity to create a network of neighbourhoods based on different areas, say like Phibsborough, Dunleary, Dundrum, that will become so Dublin will become a more, I would think, polycentred city. And I think that will be very healthy in the longer term.
When you look around at other cities, who do you think's got it right? What city do you admire or like?
I've visited Paris many times over the years, and they've got a great initiative at the moment called the 15-minute city. And they're looking to divide up the areas of the city so that no one is ever more than a 15-minute walk from all of the amenities they need, from shops to work to playgrounds. And they're then supporting that with much more pedestrianisation and bicycle ways, etc. As part of a group that I'm involved in called Irish Cities 2070, where we are looking to what Irish cities should be like in 50 years' time, we have visited quite a number of cities, and all of them provide great examples for how we should go into the future. I'm talking about cities like Copenhagen, Malmo, Stockholm. Of particular note, I think, is Freiburg, which is or portrays itself as the greenest city in Germany.
Big university town.
And a big university town. But it's very interesting. You know, it was obliterated in the war. And they built back their city. They reproduced their old city, which is fine, which is an area of about a square kilometre. But they've now made that not a pedestrian area, but a pedestrian favoured area. So the car is not dominant and people are number one, which is great. Number two, they had an old tram system, which they revived. And thirdly, they've built a network of nearly 300 kilometres of bicycle paths and pedestrian areas. So most of the people actually commute either by public transport or on bicycle or through walking. And one of the things they've done in all of the cities I've mentioned is they have both a bottom-up and a top-down approach. In Scandinavia, they call it the good conversation. And they will take 3 or 4 years to talk about what will we do. And they will then implement it over a 15 to 25 year period without political sort of interference, no matter who's in power.
We tend to talk about it for the 15 or 20 year period, a good conversation.
And one of the shames of our planning system is we end up having the conversation when a particular scheme has been submitted for planning permission, whereas we should have had the conversation 5 years previously.
When it comes to RKD, the firm, the 2008 property crash really affected, obviously, the entire property industry, but also architects, because there were lots of stories at the time of firms having to downsize and let people go, and people wondering then, would they even go in to study architecture? It was a sort of a bleak period where people felt it'll never bounce back. How tough was that?
2008, I suppose, was the toughest setback, I think, that we or probably any of our colleagues faced. And one of the things that I think was great for us was, I remember in December 2008, we sat all of our senior people in a room, and we decided we must acknowledge all of these bad debts that we are going to encounter, and we had to write off a huge amount of money that we thought was going to be coming into the practice.
How much roughly might the firm have been owed at that moment in time?
Well, I think we wrote off somewhere between 3.5 and 4 million at the time, which was significant, obviously.
When you look at the situation today, the firm is involved in a lot of commercial properties, not just offices, but more industrial buildings for tech companies, that kind of thing. What's the outlook like there for multinationals and new buildings for them?
The data centre world is a rollout, effectively, of a new utility. It's like rolling out the railways in the 1870s, and it is being built right across the world, and these data centres are sort of hubs or nodes for the transmission of all of the data that all of us are generating every day. So that I think is going to keep going for quite some time, and I think Ireland will continue to be a reasonably sized player within that world. The other areas that we'd be involved in, such as food and beverage or pharmaceutical, again, they tend to be somewhat counter-cyclical or independent of normal economic ups and downs. So again, I would see them continuing. And I also think that Ireland will, particularly with Brexit, I think it's going to become possibly somewhat more important in the world of office and connectivity between the US and the EU.
Designing data centres. Do you have any scope to be creative about that, or is there just a sort of a template, whatever works really? It's function over design.
Yeah, funny enough, they do suit a particular architectural mindset, because in fact, the integration of all of the systems between the air and the electricity and the kit that you put in them is quite complex. So that's one area where a certain type of architect can be quite creative. But it is interesting, a lot of the providers do want to have an image and project an image of what they're doing. So in certain of the buildings, not all of them, we do get an opportunity to be creative and make them look as good as we possibly can.
As an architect, you must walk around cities, whether they're familiar to you or not, and see a lot of things about design that I wouldn't see, or most people, I suppose, wouldn't see. But are there particular buildings that you love looking at, you love being in? What are your favourite ones?
The first one that I really loved was actually designed by an Irish man, Kevin Roach, in New York, which is called the Ford Foundation, I think, on 42nd Street. And it was one of the first office buildings designed around an atrium. And he did a most beautiful job on it. And to this day, it remains a really stunning building. So that would be high up in my list of favourites. I've always been fond, funnily enough, I always liked the original airport terminal building in Dublin Airport by Dem Fitzgerald and Dermot O'Toole, who were in the OPW, you know, it was a great vote of confidence in the future. And in fact, if you compare it with, you know, other airports built in the British Isles at the time, it stands out as being probably the best of them all.
I don't remember that building so fondly.
Well, indeed.
When I think about it, what it looked like, I just don't see it.
Oh, okay. Well, I suppose that might be my architectural
sort
of... Yeah,
you saw things I couldn't see.
Yes, indeed.
David Brown, Director of RKD, thank you very much for joining us.